I have notes on both sides, so have enough material we could go to midnight. We won't, though. I don't think I could hold out, and then I'd probably get hungry. Thanks for the opportunity to break the bread of life. And thanks for your coming this afternoon for the 5 o'clock service. Lord willing, my wife and I will have the opportunity to be with our brethren at Siler City the rest of this month and all of July. So that's rather challenging. Remember, I took 3 months on the book of Ephesians, and I wouldn't claim we exhausted it. I'm going to try to do it at Siler City in 7 weeks. So that's going to be quite a challenge. And I'm going to also try to gear the lessons with whatever's being emphasized in our thinking. So next Sunday, Father's Day. Guess what the lesson's going to be on? On fathers. I want to do 2 things this afternoon. Number one, share with you again what we emphasize in the recent VBS. And then number two, I had the opportunity of having lesson one for the adult class. So I'll share with you what really stood out for me in lesson one. I can still see the children over here. Those of us who are a little older over here. I agree with the late Ira North. We need to go to bat for the young people in the congregation. So think about that. The young families that have children and those that are expecting, we need to go to bat for them. And my thought is, maybe it would even help the children to hear these Bible stories on an adult level. You can do 1 of 3 things this afternoon. Follow with me in the Word. Write it down for future reference or just listen. So let's turn to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. And I was impressed, so I looked at the adult book, and then also it was on our t-shirt, Psalm 25:4. That was the key verse for our vacation Bible school. Now, it helps me to try to do 3 things, at least, for a particular psalm. Number one, anything said about the author? Number two, is anything said about the background or the historical setting? And then number three, what's actually in that psalm? Now, we're so used to the books of the Bible are in chapters. I don't view it, there's 150 chapters. I view each psalm is unique. Each psalm is different. So as I looked at Psalm 25, it's attributed a Psalm of David. Now, I'm fully aware some brethren view that means David wrote it. Others would say it was written by an anonymous writer in honor of David. Now, my personal opinion is David could write music. David could write poetry. So I have no difficulty with the thought David wrote these words. Verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Is the way of the Lord the most important thing? Would the way the Lord wants us to live the most important? The psalm, of course, does not give any historical setting. So when did David write these words? What part of his life are we thinking about? I was impressed, though, with verses 8 through 11. Good and upright is the Lord. Oh, God is good. God is upright. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. Are we thankful for the teaching of God? The humble he guides in justice. I think I told Brian, I'm especially concerned about what the New King James talks about, selfish ambition. And then how often both testaments, the emphasis on humility. Am I selfish? Or am I humble? So that really caught my attention. And the humble, he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Now, when I was growing up in the church, the emphasis was on truth. Probably now the emphasis is more on love or mercy. I believe we need both. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, for it is great. I'll raise mine. My iniquities are great. Thank God for the mercy of God. So that's what impressed me in Psalm 25. Now, thinking about all of our classes. As I mentioned, I've rediscovered Power for Today, which is published by the 21st Century Christian. And they are the publishers of the material we use this year. This caught my attention. I thought, hey, that's good. Lesson one, stay focused on God. And the Bible story or account was Jacob wrestles with God. Lesson two, stand up for what you believe. Speak out for what you believe. And the Bible story, Elijah and the contest on Mount Carmel. Lesson 3. Shine for God wherever you are. And the focus, stand out for God. And the Bible story or account was Daniel in the lion's den. And then lesson 4. Stick to God's ways. And the story was Nehemiah rebuilds the wall with the help of God's people. And so the thought, need to work together. And then lesson 5. Show others the way to Jesus. And the Bible story or account was John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. So think of those key words. Stay. Stand. Shine. Stick. Show. Did Jacob keep God in the picture? Did Elijah on the mount stand up for what was right and speak about what was right? Did Daniel shine in the den of lions? Was Nehemiah concerned about or sticking to God's ways, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem? And then lesson 5, did John the Baptist show the way to the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of God? And then, as I looked at the material, Jacob, purpose, Elijah, commitment, Daniel, purity. And I can still remember the lesson that Don Blackwell had. Saturday night, you start preparing for worship. Sunday, you participate in worship. And then every day, you live a life of purity. So, Daniel, purity. Nehemiah, action. And then John saying, Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. The message he had. So, we had a great theme, didn't we? Great lessons. Now, and then after this reading, we'll pause and sing. I believe you can do it from memory, but I'll let our expert song leader, whatever he wants. I like to remember something from the old, something from the new. So let me share with you what impressed me about Jacob. Old, new. If you have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Hosea. I somehow remember, you take one whole scroll just for the book of Isaiah. That was a long scroll or book, wasn't it? You could put all of the minor prophets on one scroll. So, minor or just short. But I was impressed with Hosea chapter 12 and verses 3 and 4. Now, if we're not careful, our reaction might be, oh, there are 14 chapters in this book. Wow, that's long. No, it's really short. You might want to read all of the 12th chapter, but we'll just read verses 3 and 4. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept. Can you picture Jacob weeping? And sought favor from him, a divine being. I don't think I could wrestle all night. I'd probably give out. But think of it. Jacob could wrestle all night, either with God or the angel, with the divine person. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. So, again, think of it. Years later, what Hosea, the prophet of God, had to say about their ancestor, Jacob. Now let's go to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, faith chapter. And I was impressed with verses 20 and 21. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. So, what did the Old Testament say about Jacob? What did the New Testament say about Jacob? We're right on schedule. So, I believe it might be appropriate for us to sing Jesus Loves Me. Oh, our reaction might be, that's just a children's song. No, it's an adult song too. So, let's sing about his love.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the
aren't we thankful that God loves us? Father loves us. The Son loves us. And the Spirit loves us. Lesson one. I wonder sometimes, is Isaac overshadowed by what we remember about Abraham? Could it be that Jacob is overshadowed by what we remember about Joseph? But doesn't the word talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Our lesson text in a moment will be Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. But I like the focus. Jacob was part of God's plan to bring Jesus into the world. And then he was willing to wrestle an angel to be blessed. So I thought, well, what did Matthew have to say about the genealogy of Jesus? What did Luke have to say? So let's turn. Note how Matthew begins. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then what does verse 2 say? Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. I've heard all my life, and I agree with it, that Matthew's writing mainly for those of a Jewish heritage. Now, if you were a Jew and familiar with the tables of genealogy in the Old Testament, how would you react to Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2? So generally considered, this is a table to Joseph through Solomon. Well, let's turn to Luke's account, chapter 3, verse 34. And again, I agree with the thought that Luke is mainly writing for Greeks. Now, if you were a Greek or a Gentile, how would you react to the table of genealogy? So in Luke chapter 3 and verse 34, we'll have again our emphasis. The last part of 33, the son of Judah. 34, the son of Jacob. The son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And so many feel this is a table to emphasize the lineage of Mary. And it's through Nathan rather than Solomon. And so, but now, if you're of a Greek or Gentile background, how would you react to this table, that Jesus is the ideal man? He's the Son of Man, but he's also the Son of God. Now, let's turn to Genesis chapter 32. Again, let me encourage you, read the entire chapter. Now, I read the book of Genesis 2 times. I still wouldn't affirm that I know all the details or facts about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. But you remember the thought? Esau is coming with 400 men. remember earlier Esau had said, well, I'll kill my brother. Coming with 400 men. So when you read the chapter, Jacob's afraid. Wonder how Esau is going to react. And so he even takes it in prayer to God. Now, this is the main text. I do not believe one day Jacob was a scoundrel, and the next day he was a saint. But let me give you something to think about. Before Genesis 32, I generally remember it's Jacob the deceiver. Now, there are some hints of his relationship with God. But then after Genesis 32, the emphasis is more on Israel, the prince. So any way you cut it, this was a key event in the life of Jacob. Let's begin the reading at verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants. I'm going to leave it to you. Can you give the names of his wives, his female servants, and his 11 sons? Which one's not yet born? And crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Jacob has a new name, and he also has a limp. How long did the limp last? I don't know. Most of the time is going to be the 12 tribes of Jacob. Most of the time it's going to be of Israel. So, a new name and a new limp. Now, what's the main message? I like this paragraph. Before Jacob could be reconciled to his brother. Remember, Esau's coming with 400 men. He first needed to be reconciled to God. The night of wrestling at Penuel precedes his reconciliation with Isaac. This is true in our lives as well. Accepting God's lordship in your life will help you to reconcile with your family. God wants us to lead our family and friends to Christ. We can only do this if we are in a right relationship with God. Was Jacob or Israel in a right relationship with God? Was Elijah in a right relationship with God? Was Daniel in a right relationship with God? Was Nehemiah in a right relationship with God? Was John the Baptist? I like Mercer better. Was he in a right relationship with God? My reaction was they all go together. If you're not right with God, what about your commitment, your purity, your action, your message? So, that's our application this afternoon. Are you right with God? You need Jesus. The thought was these were trailblazers pointing the way to Jesus. What about these Bible characters? Jacob, Elijah, Daniel, Nehemiah, John the Baptist. Oh, great men. But did they need Jesus? So, as we extend the invitation this afternoon, do you need to obey the gospel of Jesus? Do you need to ask for prayer in the name of Jesus? You need to change your thinking so it's more like Jesus. Now, careful, my thinking, what does Harry want? But is the emphasis of the book, what does the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want? Now, I realize there are some that probably will need to take the Lord's Supper. So one of my goals was, have a minute to go. I might say, well, I know the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Let me challenge you. Look again at those stories or accounts of these great men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Think about the Bible geography, the rivers involved, the places where these fathers went, where they lived. And I found it interesting to think about Jacob as an Ishtam. That's the Hebrew. In English, it's translated either as a quiet man or a mild man. So, in what sense was Jacob a Tam, T-A-M? That's going to be my research project. What does yours need to be? So, I believe Jacob needed Jesus. The deceiver needed Jesus. The prince needed Jesus. So, we have a song of encouragement. And as we sing it, you need to come to Jesus. Well, we ask you to stand and sing.